Welcome to this deep dive. Today, we're jumping straight into a really fascinating story. It's about Albert J. Jax Roberts, who flew the A-1 Sky Raider during a major conflict.
That's right. And our main source here is a really detailed interview with Jax himself. It's from the Military Tales YouTube channel, specifically their episode 65, Great Firsthand Stuff.
Yeah, and what grabbed me immediately is this paradox he presents. He actually described himself as anti-war.
But he absolutely served, did his duty, no question. It's a really complex perspective, you know, adds layers to how we think about military service.
Totally. So we'll be digging into his time with the A-1 Sky Raider, that amazing plane, close air support, search and rescue.
Exactly. And we'll look at how he even ended up flying A-1s, which was kind of unexpected for her.
Right. And the squadron dynamics, the rescue missions. It's all in that episode 65 interview. Okay, let's get into it.
So first off, how Albert J. Roberts got the name Jax. Apparently, in the A-1 groups, they had this thing shortening last names for nicknames.
Okay. So Roberts just became Jax. Simple as that?
Pretty much. It kind of hints at that, you know, camaraderie, the informal vibe in those units. He touches on that in the interview.
Makes sense. And flying was sort of in the family blood, right? His dad was an airline pilot?
Yeah, his father flew for the airlines. But here's a funny thing Jax mentions in the interview. His dad offered lessons to all the sons.
Uh-huh.
And Jax was the only one who didn't take them initially.
No kidding. The future pilot held out.
Yeah, exactly. Shows how paths can be, well, unpredictable. He actually wanted to fly C-141s, those big transports, after pilot training.
Right, aiming for an airline career like his dad. He put that down as his first choice, right? Didn't even know his class rank then, he said in episode 65.
Mm-hmm. And then, surprise, just before the assignments came out, he found out he was going to the O-1 Bird Dog.
Whoa. Talk about a change. From a huge transport to, like, the smallest, lightest plane in the Air Force inventory. That must have felt like a massive detour.
You'd think so. But Jax actually says in the interview that flying the O-1 was invaluable.
Really? How so?
Well, he was solely responsible for it. Flying solo, figuring things out on his own. He said it gave him this foundation, this self-reliance he wouldn't have gotten as a co-pilot. Forced him to learn fast.
I see. That makes sense. Building that core skill independently.
Exactly. So then later, when he got assigned to the A-1 Sky Raider, his reaction wasn't exactly thrilled.
Right. He says in the interview, it was like, an A what?
Yeah. Not the F-4 Phantom or the F-100 Super Sabre. You know, the fast movers lots of young pilots wanted back then.
Definitely not. And this sort of leads into that core part of his perspective, the anti-war thing he mentions in episode 65.
It really does. Here he is, flying combat, but holding this view. It's quite a thing to wrap your head around.
He clarifies it, though, doesn't he? In the interview, he says it wasn't about, like, rejecting all war, but more his observation of this specific conflict.
Right. He felt, you know, despite the huge amount of resources, the effort, it just didn't seem to be achieving anything meaningful. He saw the cost, but not a clear path forward. He really emphasizes that point in episode 65.
Hmm. And that led him to adopt that philosophy.
Oh.
What was it from Catch 22?
Yeah, no fly, no die.
Mm-hmm.
Inspired by Captain Yossarian. It was his way of, like, acknowledging the danger, but not looking for trouble. Do the job, but don't be reckless. Just Gus.
He talks about that approach quite openly in the Military Tales interview.
Which was apparently pretty different from another pilot he knew, this guy John.
The one he mentions in episode 65, what was his deal?
John apparently got bored if things were quiet. He'd actively, like, look for missions or even try to stir something up.
Wow. Two totally different mindsets in the same unit.
Definitely. And the unit itself had this unusual makeup Jax talks about. A lot of junior officers.
He said at one point, out of 13 officers, 9 were lieutenants. That's a lot of lieutenants.
Very junior heavy. And that probably influenced how they ran things, leading to this duty roster Monday system.
That sounds interesting. What was that exactly? He goes into it in episode 65, right?
Yeah, basically everyone, like everyone, regardless of rank, rotated through the supervisory jobs, safety officer, flight lead, you name it.
So a lieutenant could be the flight lead one day.
Exactly. Or the safety officer. Imagine the learning curve. He said one day he might be someone's wingman, the next day he's leading them.
That must have built leadership skills incredibly fast. And trust, I bet.
For sure. Now, thinking about the missions themselves, Jax mentions in the interview, especially in his last 9 months, something like 98% were inserting or extracting Army teams.
Wow, almost all of them. And he said they varied a lot, from routine to really hairy.
Yeah, the whole spectrum. But he really singles out the search and rescue missions in episode 65. Those were different.
How so? What made them stand out for him?
Just the immediate knowledge that someone was down there in serious trouble right now, that urgency.
Yeah, I can imagine.
He actually compares the feeling before a SAR mission to like being a kickoff receiver in football. That intense anxiety, knowing something could go wrong instantly.
That's a really vivid comparison.
But then he says, once they were airborne, focused, that anxiety just vanished, replaced by total concentration. He describes that shift really well in the Military Tales interview.
A stark contrast to, say, the bombing runs against suspected trucks he mentioned. Those felt less immediate, less impactful to him.
It seems that way. Less personal, maybe, compared to pulling someone out of immediate danger.
He even shared that radio snippet from ground troops.
Oh, yeah. After a close air support run. Gee, thanks a lot. You know, that was, wow, that was close. Just hearing that relief.
You can feel it, even just hearing him recount it in episode 65. So powerful.
And it ties into how he typically described his job later on.
Right. When people ask what he did, he didn't just say, I flew combat.
No. He'd say, I flew escort for rescue, or more simply, I helped people, or I saved people. That was his focus, the part he highlighted.
Which, as he explains in the interview, kind of helped him square his service with the unpopularity of the conflict back home. Focusing on the helping aspect gave it personal justification.
Makes sense. And he also noted that over time, that really strong anti-war feeling among his peers kind of faded a bit. Maybe the shared experience changed things.
Hmm. And the bond with the Army Special Forces teams they supported sounds incredibly close.
Oh, absolutely. Flying super low, he said they could sometimes even see the guys' faces on the ground.
Wow. And relying on those basic visual signals. Red smoke, the orange panel.
Yeah, and those weren't just random. The red smoke meant danger or keep away by a certain distance. And that orange panel, that was the beacon. That was the spot. Here I am.
He talks in the Military Tales interview about seeing a soldier holding up that orange panel.
Mm.
That image really stuck with him.
You can tell. He emphasizes the meaning behind it in that environment. That simple piece of orange cloth was everything. A lifeline.
And then years later, actually meeting the people they rescued. That must have been intense.
Hugely impactful. You can hear it in his voice in episode 65. He talked about finally closing that 50-foot gap, the distance between the plane and the person on the ground.
Wow. Connecting face-to-face after all that time.
He tells this one story, meeting a SAR guy 40 years later. 40 years.
Unbelievable.
And the guy basically said, you know, my family, my wife, kids, grandkids, I wouldn't have them if it weren't for you guys.
Oh, man. Nope. That's just profound, hearing that direct impact. He really goes into the emotion of that in the interview.
Yeah. Even that random encounter he mentions, the butcher in the Virgin Islands who saw his A1 t-shirt.
Right, and asked him about his service. Just shows how those connections linger, sometimes mm-hmm. in unexpected ways.
Yeah.
Another anecdote from episode 65.
But there's one rescue story Jax tells in the Military Tales interview that's just almost beyond belief.
Okay, which one's this?
It involved a helicopter crash, shot down, no survivors reported initially, looked like a total loss.
Okay, tragedy.
But then 10 days later, another helicopter crew flying about 60 miles away from the crash site.
Yeah.
They spot something. A naked man waving a flag.
Wait, what? Naked?
Naked. And guess who it was?
No. The pilot from the crash.
The pilot from the downed helicopter. Thrown clear in the crash, his uniform literally burned off him. He'd been walking east for 10 days.
10 days?
Yeah.
Declared KIA, walking through the jungle with basically nothing. That's insane survival.
Absolutely incredible. He just kept heading east. Jax recounts this with such awe in episode 65. It's a stunning story.
I bet that left an impression.
Oh, definitely. Jax says in the interview it directly inspired his own personal E&E plan, escape and evade.
His own plan, based on that guy's survival, what was it?
Well, first, he decided against extra ammo. He figured a handgun wasn't much use against rifles anyway. Instead, he carried an extra radio battery.
Okay, prioritize communication. Makes sense.
His plan was, if shot down, hide first, use the radio for as long as possible.
Uh-huh.
Then when the radio died, take off all his clothes except his boots and survival vest and walk east towards the South China Sea.
Walk east? Naked? Yep. Why naked?
His theory, which he explains in the interview, was that enemy soldiers encountering a naked white guy wandering the jungle, they might just be too confused, startled, or weirded out to shoot immediately.
Huh. That's quite a theory. Avoid confrontation through sheer unexpectedness.
Exactly. Counterintuitive, maybe, but based on witnessing that incredible survival story, a unique, pragmatic response.
Man, thinking about Jax Roberts' whole story, especially from that Military Tales episode 65 interview,
yeah,
It's just layers upon layers. The danger, the anti-war stance, the focus on helping.
It really is striking, navigating that conflict, those risks, while holding on to that core idea of assisting people.
And that aha moment you mentioned, seeing that pilot survive against all odds, and how Jax turned that into his own rather unique escape plan.
Yeah, that really does stick with you. Shows incredible adaptability, thinking outside the box under extreme pressure.
It really makes you, the listener, think about the kind of psychological resilience needed in those situations,
yeah,
you know, for the person in danger and the rescuer.
Absolutely. What kind of unexpected strategies bubble up when your life is truly on the line? It's something to ponder.
Definitely. So if you want to go deeper, exploring the A1 Sky Raider's history is fascinating. And of course, listening to Albert Jax Roberts tell his own story on Military Tales. Episode 65 is highly recommended.